Right.
So that's all honourable mentions for this week's One Direction there.
One Direction movies, yep.
Yeah.
only films that go forward in time.
Yes. These
No, these fucking Benjamin Buttons.
Films that don't know they're beautiful.
Boo.
Get out of here.
Yeah, boo.
Films starring Harry Styles.
There is one. And it is one location.
It's called Dunkirk.
Just Dunkirk. Okay, so from Peter McGrath, we've got End of the Pier.
Oh, this is a lonely film. This is a lonely film. So one guy fishing on the end of a pier, and that's almost it.
See, this is why I'm like, I like being able to skip time here, because I would love it if you could have like a coming of age type thing where someone over a series of times comes to the end of the pier at different points in their life.
Like you saw his entire life just through the point of view of
the pier. End of this pier.
It's like, no, this is the best banking advert ever.
Banking.
I think it's banking and cars, I think, do this the most, where they have a full family cycle in an advert.
Right, yeah.
So you've got a kid. I can't remember the car advert.
It's sort of like, we'll be with you all your life.
Yes, yeah. Basically.
Like,
or like
Ford.
Yeah.
You'll have your first car and your second car when you're a professional, and then you're going to have your car for your
then
kids.
We'll put your coffin
and then,
into it.
Yeah, you'll put your coffin into a fucking Ford. You know
Ford
what?
Hurst.
Ford owns you. You don't own Ford. You don't own a Ford. A Ford owns you.
Okay, so the end of the pier. So at the start of the film, a guy, oldish guy, Anthony Hopkins.
What? Yeah. No. Wow.
Anthony Hopkins kind of just drags on this kind of fishing box and kind of just starts fishing, and then just starts crying.
Okay.
Just starts crying and kind of it starts building kind of a passerby, kind of just someone else just got out for a walk, it's like early Sunday morning, kind of. Dude, what's up? Like, they're not biting. Do they need your tears? You know,
they need your tears.
They need your tears. Yeah,
they need my tears.
What it is? Yeah, is I need to cry into the bait box.
No. You see, I'm just upset. No, I'm fishing. And I'm just thinking of times past.
That's what he
there
says.
There you go. And
that's not a normal question.
Who is it?
Ask.
Who is it? Walks up. It's
oh, little kid. No, that's just up.
What's the name from Star Wars?
Yeah, what's the name from Star Wars? Yeah. Why not?
Carrie Fisher?
No. Not Daisy Ridley either. Not Kelly Marie Tran. The
right,
other
fuck
one.
It, Robin Wright.
It's Robin Wright now.
Robin Wright.
Robin Wright.
She's not in Star Wars,
Ed. The steely-eyed glare from House of Cards.
And the steely-eyed glare from Forrest Gump.
And the steely-eyed glare from The Princess Bride.
And also Steely Dan.
So, anyway, Ed, we've derailed this
Robin
pitch.
Wright's hen kind of was like, oh, what's up? Oh, just, you know, thinking about all the times I used to come here with my family. And it's just those two sat while he's fishing, just talking about his life, just narrating kind of the times he came back here. With or without flashbacks, I don't want...
God, no. Like,
no flashbacks.
Because she's only met him for the first time on the... It's like Forrest Gump. Except if his entire life story was played out around that bench.
Yes. So,
wait, there's a bench on the pier now?
No. Like, he's
oh, okay, right, yeah. I see.
Yeah, no, he's...
You're continuing the reference to Forrest Gump.
Yeah, no, he's sat on... There's no bench,
pier.
He's sat on the edge of the railing, with his legs dangling down.
He's sat on the edge of this pier, and then the camera turns around to meet Robin Wright, right? Who looks like there's a shift as it passes... Next to Robin Wright, goes in close to Robin Wright, and as it passes the other way around, the tone of the sky So one side of Robin Wright is like grey skies. Tone of the sky changes to the next one, and the camera spins back round again. And there's a gazebo on this pier.
Yeah.
And like it's Anthony Hopkins, a young Anthony Hopkins, played by
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy. Why not? he's just young old people. apparently.
Yeah, James McAvoy. He's just young old people.
He's just young old people. Getting married.
Yeah,
like James McAvoy is getting married. There's a gazebo on this pier. Like there's chairs all along the side. It's quite a wide pier, presumably. Is this onto a lake or is this onto a sea?
I think it's onto a lake.
Okay. So you can see like kids playing on the other side of the lake.
Mm.
So you can sort of like in this shot, they're like they've just had the ceremony.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, oh, look over there. You can see the kids playing on the island in the middle of they've taken the rowboat out there and there we are. Lovely little.
Okay, so then it circles back round. And still James McAvoy, but with a bit less hair, is now kind of teaching a kid to fish.
Yeah.
And it's kind of...
Oh, no. I think we go full-on surreal with this, where, like, ooh, there's entire rooms of his house, and, like, just rooms he's been in, but around this pier.
I knew we shouldn't have talked about David Lynch.
I'm thinking, like, the visuals for me are saying Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Mm.
Where there's a whole scene in that where like they are on a bed
and
then the tide comes in next to the bed.
Sea.
That's what
I'm thinking as well. That whole sort of Charlie Kaufman-esque thing where it's just like the whole end of this pier changes into places he's talking about. As he's talking about them, but still on the edge of the pier.
And as he's sort of narrating it, you kind of get to see.
Previous scene. Yeah. On the wedding, just after he says, "Oh, you can hear the thing," you hear a scream, and there's like everyone rushes to try and get across out to the island because someone's clearly hurt themselves over there, and then you cut back to old man
Anthony Hopkins.
who's crying again, and I guess.
Like, at what point does Robin Wright get sick of his shit?
I think at some point now. Like, she goes, I've got to go. My son's playing on the island.
And then, she grabs it, and then he grabs her by the arms and goes, you can't leave until I've finished my story.
Someone else can't
take it. And, right, so, plot twist. Like, no, don't leave yet. Tablets will take a little bit longer yet. He's fucking everyone's died around him.
Yeah.
He's come to the end of the pier with one last fishing trip. Off himself.
I thought he'd poisoned Robin Wright.
But also that as well. That is his final act as murder suicide.
Oh man, that's dark. I don't like that.
Plot twist!
Terrible.
Anthony
plot
Hopkins
twist.
Is the man from Up if he was evil.
Right.
The man from Up if he was Hannibal Lecter.
So. No?
He's come out there to die because that's kind of where all the big moments of his life have happened, and then he. Dies, falls into the river, and kind of the last shot as the camera kind of goes is from underneath as Anthony Hopkins sinks up to the end of the pier.
Mm.
Fade to white.
Mm. All right, fair enough.
DreamWorks production. So we can start with the little boy in the moon fishing, and then graphic match cut to him sat at the end of a pier with a fishing rod. Fuck that little boy in the moon.
We fuck kill that him.
Guy. I hate him.
We all hate him, Tom.
He's a smoke.
Oh, God.
In fact, anyone
I am
who's...
currently working on a weapon.
Anyone who's a fan of Lies of Pitch podcast also should hate the boy in the moon.
Fucking boy in the moon.
We're going to kill him.
Yeah.
We're going to kill the boy in the moon. If you're with me, meet me at the end of the pier.
I've got my weapon. My telescopic sniper rifle.
On the 15th of July. It's a very, very long telescopic sniper rifle, so we need a lot of people to hold it up.
It can shoot that. Remember that time he had a weapon as well? I think it was Toy Soldiers. Where he had a, that kid had a fucking gun.
Oh my god, who gave the moon kid a gun?
Yeah, the
Wait,
fucking
then who
moon
took
kid.
It off him again?
Spielberg.
DreamWorks, yeah, Spielberg's fault. He was like, nah.
No one is talking about the kid in the moon.
Why? If there's a boy in the moon, the people need to know.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what Wallace and Gromit really went there for? Just to go and off the man on the moon, the kid in the moon.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah,
if you could, if you could build a steampunk rocket, wouldn't you off the man in the moon, the boy in the moon?
Immediately.
There's a reason we haven't been back to the moon.
Yeah.
Fucking moon
It's that
kid.
Boy.
Yeah, that boy.
Dick.
Buzz Aldrin, like, you've seen, he's unstable.
Yeah, yeah.
He had to flee.
This is... Right, you heard it here first, guys. The secrets NASA is keeping from you about the moon.
There's a boy in it.
There's a fucking boy up there, and he is pissed.
He's got
he
a
ran out
fishing
of bait
rod.
In 1976.
He's gonna fish us up one by one.
You never hear of Kaz Summers? No, didn't think so. That was the other person on the moon landing. Now used as bait.
Fucking moon boy.
For food, for presumably space fish.
Mm.
Yeah.
We need to get on our soapbox.
Something here. Needs to be done about the boy in the moon.
Yeah. Fucking boy in the moon.
Shit. Anyway,
we've got our deleted scenes title.
Yeah.
Fucking boy in the moon.
Kill the boy in the moon.
Kill the boy in the moon. Oh no, that's wrong, isn't it? Yeah. I was thinking of the DreamWorks. Kill the boy in the moon.
He's a danger to everyone.
We need to record that and just record our own lyrics to it.
There's a boy in the moon and he's gonna eat you soon.
He's fishing.
He'll kill you and your family.
Okay, so fucking hell. Okay, so from Jeff Beard, we've got the Stannington Library lock-in.
What?
Ooh.
What?
This sounds very similar to the Breakfast Club.
Does it?
Yeah.
Because to me,
not in my
it
head.
sounds like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer style research session.
The lock-in. Yeah.
Like the library closes overnight, and that's the only way you can get to the good books,
to the occult stuff. Yeah.
So you guys missing the core concept of a lock-in.
to get drunk.
You get absolutely fucking wasted.
Yeah, not in the library, though.
Yeah. It's the only time. Or is it completely silent as well? So, like, fully steering into the library bit.
Into the library. So people are getting drunk in a library and it's a silent movie.
Yeah.
That sounds like a shit party, I'll be honest. Drinking in silence.
Sounds like my kind of party.
Yeah, mine too.
No, it doesn't.
Drinking in silence.
Nope.
Can of Stella.
Being sad.
Just can of Stella, top off.
Top off.
Yeah.
In a room full of people, just top off.
Just sat in can of Stella. Drinking Stella.
Because with no one speaking, no one can question it.
Do you know that would be quite fun? If, like, just to see what happens. Just, like, just at a party where no one's allowed to speak whatsoever. All you can do is drink.
Yeah.
But then you could see how far you could push it. So you'll get some fucking mischievous goblin like Tom.
Yeah.
That just decides to start pushing the boundaries of what can he do to get people to talk.
Yes! No, that's it!
And at one point, like, it escalates almost to murder.
That's the game! That's the game!
Oh no, I have an idea for this. I have an idea for this now. So,
I like how that started with oh no.
Oh no, yeah, no, this is terrifying. So, like, high school library.
Mm, yep.
Okay? So everything's going normal. There's a weird librarian. played by who's the
Melissa
doc
McCarthy.
From? Frank Melissa McCarthy.
She could pull off Weird Librarian.
I think she already has.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
So Melissa McCarthy is a weird librarian, and there's kids. She's super. Super like focused on the whole silence thing, right? Mm. So she's telling people off. You talked a little bit. You'd move. You chair too much. All that stuff. Mm. And then suddenly there's just this weird noise, like right.
What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. She can't tell either. She's like, who did that? Who did that? Who did that noise? Who did that fucking noise? She's shouting now.
Where is this
like,
going?
It starts off. She's like, shh, looking around, but no one's like, no one seems like no one's even noticed it.
Wait, what's the noise again?
It's like a bad Ewok.
Okay, so what happens then?
So basically, she can't find who did it. So she, like, this is getting to closing time. She locks all the doors.
Oh, we're not leaving until someone's
them.
Fucking owned up.
Yeah. So it's now a hostage situation.
Yes.
While she finds out who is causing this sound.
That's a. It's a Stannington library as well. So somewhere, like. An area in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy is a high school librarian.
Who the fuck did that? Who was it?
It's Melissa McCarthy playing kitchen sink drama. Yeah. Yorkshire woman.
Fucking bastards.
You little shits. And all this stuff starts coming out. Like all her preconceived notions about teenagers, all this stuff. And I guess the resolution is that they find out it's a bird. Like, it's like a weird bird.
I thought you were going to go down the line of it was an evil Ewok that had
Yeah, you know what? You know what? It was. It was an evil Ewok because I was just saying earlier that I like my fantasy to come in at hour 10 in the movie.
Yes.
So, like, on that doomsday clock, I want it on, like, 9 o'clock. I want the fantasy to start coming in, like, there. So, like, it's all normal, and then suddenly...
Three quarters of the way through.
She's beaten, like, Danny Pudi half to death.
With letter G of the fucking nearest encyclopedia.
Yeah. She's like, because she thought it was him, because he, I don't know, he had Tourette's or something. And then.
Whoa!
And then, like.
It swerved,
what?
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Just like.
It got dark.
Like, that's all the signs pointed to him, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she, like, took it out on him, and then he's, like, half dead.
And then he's pointing into the corner of the room, and you see this little Ewok head disappear behind a bookshelf.
His little red Ewok with horns.
Going around with like a makeshift spear made out of pencils.
Fucking trident.
All rubber banded together.
Yes.
So
like, I just love how that could be the end of the movie. There's no resolution to it, or just like any question as to why the Ewok was
so
there.
So the police are outside.
Yeah.
And I think,
like, what do you want?
I want to know who made that fucking noise.
I want to kill this fucking Ewok.
I think, see, here's the thing. I think this has brought out a load of stuff about her.
Yeah.
Why she's so keen on silence. Like, she was probably bullied by kids at school.
Mm.
All this stuff has come through, right?
Yeah.
And then this is why fantasy should come in, because like she jumps at the Ewok into like a Henson world. Like a puppets fucking everywhere, right? She jumps, the Ewok's behind a shelf. She like tries to dive at it to grab it, goes through the shelf. All these books collapse on her, right? The shelf falls over onto her, and she pushes out into a Henson world where everything is puppets.
Three quarters of the way through the movie.
More. Near the end.
Like,
you're 20, 25 yeah. minutes.
But it's a Henson version of the library.
Why not?
The location.
But, like, everything's leaning in on her. Like, they're big Henson puppets. They're animatronic, huge, looming creatures.
The kaiju events.
Yeah, and they're all wearing baseball caps, or they are like waving sticks or something like that. Like something that's but very
all,
much.
Well, they're all dressed like the different characters from the Breakfast Club.
Well, it represents her being bullied at school and her aggression towards
they're
that.
They're
right?
all caricatures of people who bullied her in school.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I just love the idea of the police turning up and...
Well, going, they do.
What do you want? And then she goes, I just want to fucking kill this Ewok. Like, I found out who it is now, and it's this little fucking
that
pest.
That can happen. Yeah. That can totally happen.
Yeah.
Then she dives at it. Then
yeah.
Henson
Smash.
World. And then she, like, chases this Ewok through this world.
I kind of don't want the Ewok to be explained, though. Or, like,
it
doesn't have to be explained. But just, like, the Ewok in this real world, like, we kind of figure out he came from this Henson world. But the Ewok just appearing in the world and going, just to torment this poor librarian.
I think because we don't end the film in a kind of obvious, she went mad.
Yeah.
Right? We end the film in a sort of... this world, we give it some a kind of magic portal, like a kind of right. Like her grandma always said, like oh you
Ewok's
can't you it's a one location movie, so you can't.
But you can exposit further that you can say that earlier on, just kind of foreshadow it almost. Like,
yes,
I fucking like growing up with my grand, they fucking hated me because I was a.
She's gonna be
orphan.
Doing a long yeah. Melissa McCarthy doing this long speech.
Yes.
About like how
I grew up an orphan.
The reason I became a librarian because my grandma said that your dreams become reality like in books, like. When you're around books, when you know books, it's like a Matilda thing, right? The magic's never explained, it just is.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, like, it could be totally a thing. It's almost given some credence by that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then...
So that's her love of books, that's why she chose to become a librarian.
Yeah, yeah. And then, in fact, there might even be a book that's, like, she'd never even seen before that's sort of about how your dreams become... reality in this book when you're around when you're this.
Isn't that what dreams may come?
It's never any story.
There is never any story. okay, so yeah.
Yeah, so like all that, you make it almost real, so you have, we end the film in a kind of, we don't know if the ending of this film is real or not. Like, we don't know if Henson World is a real fantasy world, or if she was just mental and she just kind of suffered a break and
nothing is resolved.
And like she'd
but she's still arrested.
She was gonna be arrested. Well, I think she gets arrested in Henson World.
She's arrested by Henson police.
Oh yeah.
And then she just falls into a pit. And then that just falls into darkness, yeah. And that's the end of the film.
Yep,
that's weird.
The Snooker song by Captain Sensible plays. It's only a game, so you better believe I'm right. I'm gonna be snookering you tonight. That's just
big break.
Yes, not the but it is the big break theme tune, yeah. But it was a song by Captain Sensible first.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Called the Snooker Song.
Like, I thought it was written for Big Break.
Nope.
Though.
No, they just shout Big Break at the end.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's, wow.
He was the guy who Captain Sensible, the guy who wrote happy, happy, happy talk. What would you like to do? Blue doo doo. If you don't have a dream, if you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true? Dip 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 dip. But not the rap one. Right? Dizzy Rascal did rap.
I had no idea there was a rap version of that.
Yeah.
I just knew the original.
Yeah, well, he did that. Captain Sensible did that.
Oh.
So, yeah, like, one location movies. Let's talk about what they are.
Yeah.
So, this, I'm sure, is an actual genre, because you picked it. So, there's a few films I've seen, and I love them all dearly, where they are all shot, the set, in one location, with a fairly small cast, and it's in real time.
Yes.
So it's a minute in movie is
a minute in passing. Real life.
Yeah.
Okay, right. You've added the real time thing because I was just thinking it's just one location.
Extra difficulty.
So like 10 Cloverfield Lane, let's say.
Yeah. That's
a one location movie.
That's over a few days.
That is over a few days. they go to sleep, they wake up, they sort of, there are things happening in one room while the door's closed, and you can't see the rest of the location. Mm. It's in a bunker. I don't want to spoil the movie, but there are things happening that you can't see. There are places you can't always see. There are things happening. Like, I think there is a perception potentially of like, is it Rope?
Yes, like, Rope. Rope is a film that is one
fundamentally. Yeah. As in, it's a fundamentalist one location film where like you are the
Bible is real.
Yeah.
It's one location, one camera shot.
Yeah, it's a oneer. The whole thing is one shot, one camera shot, like everything happens in real time and there is nothing happening that you can't see for the most part.
So one of my favourite versions of this this genre is a film called The Exam, where it's about 12 people all locked in what is essentially a shipping container.
Okay.
But it's kitted out like an exam room. So these are like the 12 finalists for a job role.
Right.
And it's a really prestigious job with a kind of really expensive kind of expense account. And they all really desperately want this this job. And they are set. And the exam is kind of you have one question and 90 minutes, go.
Right.
They all kind of look down and all of the sheets of paper are blank. Now, what I love about that film is the location actually becomes a character almost in the film. So they kind of interact with the location. So they smash the lights, another set of lights come on. They smash the lights, another set of light comes on. It's a fucking amazing film. And there's some almost famous people. So Colin Salmon's in it. Who does a brilliant job. But that's kind of... That's almost the in some of these films the setting is almost an extra character.
Yeah, and that's true of Tangled Up with Len as well. That partially like you discover more about the location and it's mundane stuff. You know, if there's like that's a really cool thing about a one location thing is someone finding a cupboard is a big deal.
Yes.
Someone finding a hole that they can hide something is a big deal because, like, it's just 3 inches of space, but, like, this amazing...
They tend to be very claustrophobic in nature. I mean, like, well, with...
They sure can be.
With Rope, where you've got the... Like, I think the body is in the trunk in the middle of this party.
Yeah.
And they're all talking about, like, oh, where's this guy? Why isn't he here? And he's been murdered with this rope, and the rope is used to tie the books that is given to his wife and stuff like that. And you're like, this is incredible. Like, oh, my God, how are they getting away with this? And it's very sort of intimate, and you know all the ins and outs of this one place and what the characters are doing there.
Because it's a smaller ensemble, you get to explore each of the characters in a lot more detail.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
Another example of this is called The Man from Earth, which is kind of one of our top 3 favourite films of all time. And the setup is really simple. It's a bunch of college professors in America, and one of them... he's kind of leaving, so it's kind of an impromptu leaving party because he's kind of selling up and moving on. And then just throughout the conversation, it kind of transpires that he's actually a Cro-Magnon man that never died.
Right.
And that is not a spoiler.
Yeah.
Wow. You get that in the first 10 minutes.
Wow.
And it kind of, the entire kind of conversation, and you get some characters kind of drifting in and out, but kind of essentially kind of will tell us about your life. And the whole thing kind of progresses.
Like, that's the beauty of one location things. They tend to be, like, quite a lot of them are based on plays, I found. Rope is based on a play. Rear Window, I'm pretty sure, could easily be adapted into a play.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was, actually, a play before. It's interesting. There was a film I went to see called... what was it called? Oh, fuck. Something beginning with C. Not Crash. Something like that. Had Kate Winslet, Christoph Waltz... John C. Reilly and...
Oh, you were telling me about that one.
Titanic?
No. Is that a Panic?
No.
Terror in One Room.
No, I'll have to look it up because it's killing me. But anyway, that is... if you want to... I'll explain the plot and while Ed's looking it up. But it was, I think it was based on a play, and it was just exploring how these characters interacted, because it was two sets of parents, one coming over to the other's house to talk about their kids having a fight in the playground.
Mm.
And it turns out that their fight...
Carnage.
That's what it's called. Turns out their fight was a lot more meaningful, a lot more hurtful, a lot more long-lasting.
Right.
It's like, well, than the fight in the playground, because at the end, like, spoiler alert, I mean, it's not really about the what's happening, it's just, this is just the theme. Spoiler alert, the kids at the end just are seen playing with each other at the end in the playground, because it that grudge didn't last.
Right.
Where the parents... two sets of parents fucking hate each other by the end of the film, and they are never going to see each other again, you know this. And it's just incredible to explore these characters and how they interact. I think that's, that's what you get from a play, because the plays are on stage.
Yeah.
Sometimes, expressionist sets.
Yeah.
I can't... Is it Brecht or is it Arthur Miller that did this first? I can't remember. Anyway, my friend will probably listen and go, you got this all wrong. But it allows for the delivering of a character rather than the look of a place,
right?
If you know what I mean. So you can have places all being characters as well could be in theatre, but in films, because you've got so much to look at and it's got to be a living, breathing space.
Yeah,
you can, especially in films that aren't in one location, you can just get lost in what you're looking at outside of the characters. Yeah. Whereas one location just focuses very much on the characters.
Mm. So now we've talked about the genre, and we know what it is.
Yeah,
you're regretting slightly the choice of film.
No.
I mean, when we did art house films, we sort of knew what we were getting into.
Yeah, good, because we don't really concentrate on the characters and their interactions. Yeah. It's like this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. So
I think that's going to continue to happen. In fact, by saying that the location can be a character, you've opened a whole new world of options to me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a good experiment, I think, for us. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
And the other kind of another example of this film, type of film, is Phone Booth.
Mm.
Oh, not seen it.
Like, again, very claustrophobic.
So Colin Farrell is on a phone, in a phone booth in the middle of a place, and there's a sniper that will shoot him if he hangs up.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the plot.
And everyone thinks he's a bad guy.
It lasts for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Speed. Also actually, on location
like
film.
80% of that?
Yeah.
No, because they cut away.
They do cut away.
They cut away.
Yeah, no, it is. I was just thinking, like, what kind of is, like, Phone Booth? I was like, Speed is definitely like Phone Booth.
Speed 2, this time it's a boat.
For fuck's sake. Willem Dafoe in that movie.
Predator.
With leeches.
It's all set in a jungle.
This is the argument we had when we were just going to go. It was just like, oh yeah, Dead Man's Shoes, set in the north of England.
One location.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
You could probably also say Alien.
La La Land.
Set in LA. Well, Alien isn't saying what... Alien, you've got many different locations.
Are they just on a spaceship?
Well, not like... Well... There's the Nostromo. There's the Nostromo's little
friend
that comes down.
Nostromo.
And they go to the derelict ship.
My little friend. How's it going there, little friend? How's it going, Nostromo? just dropping the astronauts off on the planet.
Okay, you come back now soon. Now you hear?
Okay. Hopefully not bringing any aliens on board with me.
Well, we can all hope so, little friend. I can only hope.
Well, like, yeah, you've got those two, Nostromo and Nostromo's little friend, and the derelict spaceship in that one. But yeah, like, the majority of it is set on the Nostromo. Right, I want to talk about this one purely for the deleted scenes.
So do I. I want to talk about this one too.
Yeah.
That, I thought that was the plan to talk about this one.
But from Marcus Newman, we've just been given a postcode.
Let's look it up.
Yeah.
Google it.
Yeah, I want to look it up. I'm not sure if we can actually... Can we say it on...
Let's find out first.
Yes. Let's find out.
We can street view that shit.
Someone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, great idea.
If it's someone's house. So what's the postcode? It is this.
Oh, do you know what? Marcus, you've done us proud.
Right.
It's a fucking house at the end of a long ass drive. This is fucking amazing.
He's given us the postcode for a random house.
Oops. Oh, out instead of in.
Oh, well, hold on. Round the corner from Rough Tor car park.
It looks like Marcus has given the location of a dogging site. Of an abandoned house / dogging site.
How do we street view this?
I'm not sure.
Drag a man onto it, haven't we?
There's a little man at the bottom there.
Oh, I do want to do that. I can't see the cursor. This is genius. He's actually got us.
This is amazing. I don't think you can. I don't think they drove the little map car down there. It's a farm.
It's just a farm.
It's a residential agricultural postcode. It's a farm.
What?
I fucking love this. I fucking love this.
So, right. This postcode, which we won't say just in case it's someone random fucker's house.
Some house, yeah. We can't even screenshot, like, a street view.
Although, to be fair, thing. You could just look on the thread on whatever it was Marcus submitted.
Yeah, it's on the Facebook thread, so...
yeah.
We're not saying it.
So, I think this is a story, this is a short that plays out through Google Street View.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how...
Okay.
Like, right, Tom, you're on Google Street View.
Am I? Oh, yeah. No, I might not be anymore.
Right.
I was.
But you were on Google. That's the important part. Yeah. You were on Google Street View. Imagine if Google updated that shit regularly.
Okay, so you know the photo of Martin McFly's mum and dad in Back to the Future?
Oh, that fade away.
Yeah. That is the only record that this house exists. Like, Google Street View is the only record that this house exists.
Yeah.
And the one location is the inside of a car for a group of students that have found out that there's a house on Google Street View that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're trying to find it.
No, like, someone, like, has taken it off all the other maps.
Yes.
But these, like, someone, like, lives there? Oh, okay, so the one location is the car, so they know you never leave the car.
Yeah.
It's
not technically one location. And it's a road trip.
Yeah, it's a road trip movie where
a bunch of students are trying to look for the house that's disappeared off every map except Google Street View.
So you can zoom into phones, you can zoom into laptops.
Mm. Yeah.
They all have, like, you know, the mobile wireless GPS stuff.
Yeah.
So they get there, and does the house exist or not? It doesn't exist from a distance, but once they get down the road, then
it's a fake house. It's a picture of a house. You know, like in London, when they were building the Underground, there's like facades of houses.
Well, like,
it's one of those.
Well, no, that would be visible from the side, but not the top. This is the other way around.
Okay.
It's visible from Street View because it's painted onto the ground.
Oh, God, yeah.
But how? No, I think.
Where is the denouement of this
film? You know what? I think they get there and they get stopped. No, I think they get there and they get stopped at checkpoints and shit.
Mm.
And they have to take country roads to get around these checkpoints, to try and get closer to this house because there's like government shit going on. Like, they're trying to avoid people because they're trying to stop them getting to this house that's been deleted from OS maps. Like, it's kind of...
Because it's a nuclear war bunker for the Prime Minister.
Yeah, why not?
I think that's too like benign. I think it's got to be like something worse.
Oh, like, so it was the landing site for the alien.
It's the Millennium Falcon.
No, that's in Watford.
Yeah. Because there's a hole in the ground right next to it as well. Mm. Like a really big
hole
you mean in the ground.
Crater.
Yeah. No, it looks like a crater from. So it's like an alien. It's like it's
an alien impact.
It's Penzance's answer to Area 51.
So this kid that just has convinced all his housemates to go on this road trip, and kind of. Yeah, so this kid that was in the area and kind of there's kind of local folklore about.
And they're totally about, like, you know, they have a history. They're showing each other videos of they're like the kind of guys who go into abandoned buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
They're showing each other videos of them taking videos of police. Mm. Like, because if you take videos, and they've got this is mainly shot through a GoPro on the back seat and a GoPro on the dash.
Yeah.
Or two GoPros on the dash, one in front, one in the back, one point forward, one point back, and then also their handheld cameras.
Yeah.
So it's all cutting between like their stuff. We could even have like it be sort of a. Has anyone seen Marble Hornets?
No.
It's the conception of Slender Man.
Yes.
Where someone, the filmmaker, is putting text over saying, like, I found this footage, you should see it. Here's the stuff I've managed to put together. Mm. So it's sort of that the editor is a character.
Okay.
We get this, like, you don't want to know what happened that day, or like I need to know what happened that day. I was sent this footage. It was on the Dropbox when I got there. I can't find my friends. That's what midpoint of the film you find out that this guy is looking for his friends through this footage.
Yes. And the car is almost actively working against them as well.
Okay.
So, kind of, there's some sort of agency or
it's Herbie, the love bug.
Well, I was thinking, it has to take such weird roads.
Yeah, it takes such weird roads, and the car just like just really struggling to turn left. Or
oh yeah,
turn
like
right.
The engine keeps. Just, it's an old car. Yeah,
yeah, but they
that's what you meant by
almost
that.
Seems to be, just seems to be actively trying to hinder their progress
because it's an alien thing, and like they can. Make weird shit do weird shit.
Look, it's a Doctor Who perception filter.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah,
that yeah they keep having trouble with the driver. The driver, like, whoever was driving, like, they've been driving for days, and they keep missing turns, and like, everyone's like, why didn't you turn just then? And they're like, what turn? What turn?
Yeah.
They back up, they try and do it again, they can't do it, and then that person, like, faints. The person in the driver's seat faints. Yeah. They've got a nosebleed.
Swap
whatever.
Out, like, same thing happens.
Yes. Close Encounters of the Third Kind of deal. Yeah, yeah.
Every time they try and turn down this lane, it won't work. And then eventually...
But then they try and go around.
And they try and go around. They come down. They fall. Literally, the car breaks through some loose rocks. They're driving along like... At this point, it's like a 4x4.
Yeah.
They're driving... Or something that's like got off-road. What feels off-road, but also gorilla.
Hmm.
I don't know what sort of like.
So it's like an old Jeep.
Yeah, like an old Jeep.
VW van.
Yeah, okay.
Yes!
And so they're driving this through and it's like over rocky terrain.
Wait,
sort
hang
of thing.
On. This is
a mystery machine.
This is Scooby
Doo. Mystery
Doo.
Yeah. They break through some rocks. This is a good, like, found footage Scooby Doo thing without the talking dog. And then it breaks. Some rocks break. The entire car goes into a ditch. Into some caverns that are like seated by the sea caverns that they like they look on Google Maps and they're like, wait, this is a huge hole. This goes all the way down and these tunnel systems meet up. And then the rest of the film, they all get out of the car, and then the rest of the film is dash cam. They walk into the darkness and they never come back.
Duh. That's weird. That's our gritty reboot of The Famous Five.
five go missing.
five never return.
The cast of that film is the band Five.
Just Area Five.
But there you go.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.